Greetings, friends. In this reflection, I want to explore the passage in John 15, verse 1 to 6, and then verse 9 as well, where Jesus is quoted as saying, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me just as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you will be like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love." This is a profound image that is described in this John passage. The vine is comprised of the branches. It is not separate from these. So this passage describes our deepest identity as one with the vine. And the vine depends on us. And our place is that of belonging to the whole of the vine. And Jesus says, "Remain in me as I remain in you." However, the passage also goes on to describe the pruning and burning of branches that are separate from the vine. Unfortunately, many of us have grown up with the threat of hellfire as eternal punishment, so we tend to read that threat into this passage. But from living on a small holding, I recognize this kind of burning as what is called brush burning, where the old, dead, dried-out branches are cut away and burnt to clear the space for a flourishing growth to emerge. It's a clearing away of what keeps us from knowing our belonging in the vine. Our human minds tend to hold us captive in an identity that is separate from the vine. And as this passage tells us, branches that are separate cannot produce fruit. Any separate identity self does not actually exist. It's a figment of our imaginations. But because it keeps us stuck in self-interest, it prevents us from abiding, from remaining as part of the whole. And so it needs to be burnt away, so that our place of belonging can be restored. What I've been finding is that this is not just one separate self-identity that we get caught in. We have multiple identities that we play out in different arenas, numerous branches that are separate from the vine. So to abide as part of the vine means to intentionally let go of these surface places of identity. Any habits of mind and will that reinforce our separate self-identity. It involves releasing our grasping and resisting will, because all of that is part of the separate branch self. There's a lovely description that I heard once, that you release the thought that has held you captive as if you are dropping a hot coal. That is the sense I have of the casting into fire that we read in this passage. Any fictitious self-identity that is keeping us from knowing our true nature as abiding in the vine should be cast away or dropped like a hot coal. This is where regular practices such as meditation or contemplative prayer, quiet times in nature, body grounding practices, and other ways of returning to presence and to surrender are so important. where we regularly let go of the thought cycles that reinforce our small separate identity and return from the virtual reality that our minds weave, coming back again and again to a simple belonging, remaining, waiting in open, surrendered presence. Returning our attention to an abiding in the vine means a restoration of our belonging to the whole life of the vine. This involves allowing the free flow of life through us, which requires an openness and a yielding to the flow. And the different branches of the vine have varied roles. Some branches don't have the glamorous role of carrying grapes, but it does not mean that they're not part of the fruitfulness of the whole. Some branches have a more structural, stabilizing role. Some are connectors between core structures and outer branches, and some are the fresh green expansion into new growth areas. But all of the branches quietly allow life to flow through them to ultimately produce fruit. The problem with us humans, especially in our highly individualized Western identities, is that we don't just mistake ourselves for a separate branch. We imagine that we are the whole plant and that we have to do everything. We hold up the weight of the world, and this is far too heavy for anybody to do. This mistaken identity is what needs to be discarded and thrown out so that we can learn to live freely and lightly. For as Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The sap knows how to arise. Our true nature knows how to bear the fruit. The knowledge is embedded in our DNA. 'Tis the most natural thing. In a plant, the xylem and phloem are the vessels, the channels of connection that lead down into the roots, allowing the impurities to flow out of the cells and allowing the nourishment to rise from the roots, bringing growth and fruitfulness. All we have to do is return, consent, and allow the flow to continue through us. We need to return to abiding and participating with the unforced rhythms of grace, the quiet, steady flow of God's life through our veins, bringing healing and nourishment to us and through us. This is all the most natural thing once we are reconnected to the whole, remembered to the body of Christ, to use Paul's analogy. So I think it will be helpful for me to give some examples of separate self branches from my own life. One example is when I take on the identity of spiritual teacher, over identifying with this role, and feel the weight of coming up with something profound or life-giving on my own. And that's just too much weight to carry. Another is the professional consultant me, who wants to be acknowledged and praised and is quite a perfectionist and feels bruised if I receive anything but positive feedback. And then there's the identity of victim me or wounded me, and I feel the need to protect myself and grasp onto safety and security. Those are just a few examples. There are many others in here. When I'm unconsciously identified with these multiple roles, I take on the weight of trying to please everybody. And this is actually impossible, juggling more and more balls as life progresses. But these are the kinds of life-constricting knots that we tie ourselves in all the time. This doesn't mean that we have to stop playing the roles, because we do need to function in the world. But it is the grasping onto that identity as telling us who we are that we need to learn to let go of, living lightly with the roles and then letting them go when they've fulfilled their function. And if we fail, this is an opportunity to allow the humiliation to do its work. Humiliation can be a wonderful gift, actually. not to our ego selves, never to our ego selves, but to the awakening of our true nature, because it reveals where we may be over-identified with a role, carrying too much weight, and then re-grounding us in who we really are, reconnecting us to the vine. The problem here is that our ego, the part of us that grasps onto self-definition and self-importance, does not like merely being part of the whole. We like to be significant in our own right, to be seen to be an amazing fruit bearer. We don't like the obscurity of merely being a branch. So we continually have to die to the small self and all of its self-aggrandizing urges to be significant, to stand out, and to matter. We need to learn a profound humility, an awareness that we are utterly dependent on the vine as a whole for our very life. Only when we die to this willful separate self, letting it burn away in the brush fire, can we be open and vitally alive, but as part of the bigger whole. This is a radical shift from how we've envisaged our lives. Richard Rohr calls this a total identity transplant, because only when we've let go of our grasping onto the separate self-identity can we be remembered, remembering who we are as part of the whole vine, clear and open enough so that the life of God can flow through us, so that we can become channels of the peace, love, and generosity of God into this world. This reminds me of a line that I quote often, because for me it's been such an important reminder. It comes from the German mystic Jacob Böhme, who said, "May my soul remain in resigned humility, just as a fountain relies on its source." And in this context, we could rephrase this: "May my soul remain in resigned humility, just as a branch relies on the vine." May my soul remain. I love the phrasing in verse 4, "remain in me as I remain in you." Another version reads, "abide in me as I abide in you." And the Greek word for abide or remain means to stay, endure, continue, be present, dwell, and wait in expectation. This gives us a clue to the how of this. Jesus didn't say, "try your best to reconnect to the vine." To remain implies continuing what is already the case. We are already connected to the vine. This is a reminder to remain in this connection, to simply let go of what pulls us away from what is already our deepest state of being. As Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches." There's nothing we can do to make the connection happen, but we can let go of everything that pulls our attention away and that tells us otherwise. We let go of all of our attempts to force fruitfulness on our own and return to humble dependence on the vine. To remain or abide also implies the need for a stillness, a slowing down, a quietening of the usual noisiness of our lives, and a gathering of our awareness from doing and striving into being who we already are. When we make a choice to regularly return our attention to this place of abiding, we are realigned with our sense of connection with God, our source. Isaiah 30 verse 15 puts this beautifully: "In returning and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength." When we withdraw from all our places of outward identity and return to this place of restful abiding, in an attitude of quietness and trust, we become more and more aware of our rootedness in the vine, and open to the flow of life through us. Cynthia Bourgeau describes the practice of centering prayer as being exactly about this abiding. She says, what takes us out of that deep felt sense of inter-abiding, which is there all the time, what takes us out of that Trinitarian flow is our thinking. Thinking, 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 breaking it into bits. She continues, in centering prayer, we get to practice not doing that for a little while, and in that we fall into the ground, into inter-abiding ground. The call to remain is the call to remember who we are, to remember that our earthly lives are part of the one life, unfolding as part of the intricately woven whole. From the moment we were knit together in our mother's womb, to this moment, where we are called to participate in the mysterious unfolding of this moment in human history, where a strange virus is disrupting life as we know it, and an unknown future beckons to us to participate as branches of the vine with as much vitality and openness as we can, allowing the life of Christ to flow through our veins, the breath of the Spirit to breathe through our breath, and the love of our Father, Mother, God to ripple out through our hearts for the healing and nourishment of the world.